Good evening. So wonderful to see you all. Hope everybody's staying a little warm because it's getting a little chilly here in Maryland. A little chilly today. I see Marty's got his nice warm cozy. There you go. Okay. Okay, tonight we are doing Parshas Lech Lecha, last week's Torah reading, and that's what the voters have voted in this town. And in this town, we go back a week. We look at last week's parsha. So that is what we're going to do. Lech Lecha is a transformative and a tremendously transitional parsha of where we go from a world 20 generations worth that is getting worse and worse, getting worse and worse until we're introduced to Abraham and he's told, Lech Lecha, go. It is time to move on a journey to ultimately become the father of our nation. So at the very beginning, I'll read you, if you have the Chumash, great. It's the beginning of the parsha. Hashem says to Avram, go for yourself from your land, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land I will show you. I'm not telling you where it is. Already we are tipped off of that this is not a simple journey. Imagine you're told, and you know it's God. We're not talking about where there's a concern you're hallucinating. You know it's God. You've had conversations, and he tells you you need to leave. You need to go. So, okay, you're a faithful individual. You'll do it. But you're going to ask the obvious question, where? Where would you like me to go? Sorry, it's on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know right now. Okay. What happens? And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. It's a pretty famous line. God gives Abraham wonderful, he says, trust me, go. I'm not telling you where, but go. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, do I got good stuff in store for you. And he breaks it down into four things. Right, we're going to analyze this tonight. He says, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Those are the four things that Hashem says. Okay. He continues and offers him more. I will bless those who bless you, and him that curses you, I will curse, and all the families of the earth shall bless themselves by you. A whole slew of great rewards. But that opening verse, where he's given four pieces of information about blessing, what's the difference? If I were to ask you, again, I often quote this and I say to you, the Torah is not written by Charles Dickens. Charles Dickens was paid by the word. The Torah is not paid by the word. And if it's there, that means there's something it's telling us that we need to analyze. So, what is the difference between, and I will make of you a great nation? Doesn't that mean I will bless you? Isn't that, I mean, you can't become a great nation if God doesn't give you his blessing. That's like the guy who's working in the mailrooms and the CEO comes to him and he says, I'm going to make you the vice president. And I'm going to make it good for you. Okay, you already said I'm going to become a great nation. I will bless you. But wait, and make your name great. What does that mean? Make your name great?
Isn't that when he changed his name?
Maybe. I can't give out all the answers in the beginning. Okay, and you shall be a blessing. I feel like we're in the department of redundancy department. Did you guys get that? Okay. What's going on here? So you have to see a Rashi. Rashi's commentary, drawing from early sources in the Talmud, says the following. He says, every single person on this Zoom call knows that when we start the Amidah, when we start davening the Shmoneh Esrei, famous prayer, right? The highlight of every prayer service. We start, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, and the God of our ancestors. But it doesn't stop there. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and Elokei Yaakov. We name the ancestors, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then Hakel, Agadol, Agibar, all these different attributes. And we end King, Melech, Ozer, Umoshiach, Umagen, King, Helper, Savior, and Shield, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen, Avraham. What happened to Yitzchak and Yaakov? Where'd they go? Are they not the ancestors anymore? By the time we finish paragraph one, we've kicked them out of the club. You started with, you are blessed are you Hashem, our God and God of our ancestors, God of our forefathers, and I list them. Elokei Avraham, God of Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, God of Yitzchak, and Elokei Yaakov, God of Yaakov. And we talk about other attributes, and we get to the very end of that blessing, and blessed are you Hashem, the shield, the protector of, I expected to see Avram, Yitzchak, the Yaakov, same way I started. But all it's got is Avraham. You ever noticed that before? You can be honest. You may have noticed it, but you didn't stop to really think about it. That's a little strange. Does the beginning of the blessing invokes the names of all of our patriarchs? Yes or no? Yes, it does.
Yes.
Don't you, I would expect to have the symmetry at the end of the very same blessing where you're talking about the patriarchs to end the shield of and protector of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And here it's listed only as Avraham. Listen carefully. Rashi again is telling us from early sources that these blessings in this parsha that we just read in Lech Lecha, of where Hashem tells him to go on this journey, and he says to him four things. I will make of you a great nation. That corresponds to the fact that we say Elokei Avraham, that Hashem is the God of Avraham. The next part of it, I will bless you. That's why we say Elokei Yitzchak, God of Yitzchak. Third blessing, and make your name great, Velokei Yaakov, the God of Jacob. And the fourth, and you shall be a blessing. That means you get top billing. Why we only end with Magen Avraham. That's how Rashi quotes this. You following this? You have the four statements, the four, so to say, blessing, four part blessing that God gives Avraham here in our Parsha. Says the source, as early again, the Judaic literature, whatever you want to call it, tells us that those correspond to the four phrases. Elokei Avraham, number one. Elokei Yitzchak, number two. Elokei Yaakov, number three. And the fourth one is corresponding to Shield of Avraham. Now, it begs the question, what did the men of the Great Assembly who put together the Shemoneh Esrei, why did they establish to start our Shemoneh Esrei in the first place by mentioning the three patriarchs? Why? What would have been lost if we had just simply said, Baruch Atah Hashem, like we do every other blessing, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, our God, King of the Universe, and then move on to what it is we want to say. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibar, Vahanor. What are we invoking our ancestors for? Why is that put in over here at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, at the beginning of the Amidah? They must have had a reason to invoke our, what we call, Zechut Avot, the merit of our ancestors. Let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen. We have very little claim to fame. None of us, I shouldn't say that. I'll speak for myself. I do not feel worthy to go ahead and say, God, listen to my prayer because do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? I'm Rabbit. Do you not know me? Seriously, how could you not listen to my prayer? I don't have such chutzpah because I know who I am and I know that as much as you think I'm worthy, I know I'm not. So what chance do I have of God listening? I say, hey, you know who my Bubby and Zaidi are? Do you know who my Alta Zaida is? Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Okay, God says, oh, I remember them. They were good guys. Yeah, they're the founding patriarchs. All right, what do you got to say, Tachman? I'm listening. That's how this works. That's why the Anshei Knesset HaGdol, the men of the Great Assembly, established that we should invoke their merit. But it goes even deeper. The Talmud tells us there are three prayers a day, aren't there? Unless it's Shabbos, unless it's Rosh Chodesh, unless there's something special. But on a typical day, we have three prayers a day. What are they? In order. Go in order. What's the first prayer of the day?
Marv,
Wait.
Marv,
Shacharit,
I hear Shacharit, I hear Maariv.
Shacharit.
Maariv,
You start
anybody
the
want to
day at
go with
night, you start
Mincha?
Marv.
Come on,
Maariv.
perfect. Okay, the correct answer is Maariv, the nighttime service. Why do you say this? What are you talking about? The day is the morning. You wake up in the morning. No, we know from already from the very beginning of creation, when God created the universe, every day of creation it ends with, and it was evening, and it was morning, day one, day two, day three. For us as Jews, our day begins at night. That's the start of a new day. For example, today in English on the secular calendar, it is November 5th. When is it going to become November 6th?
Midnight.
At
Midnight.
midnight tonight. Why? Who chose midnight? The answer is I don't know, but it was basically a conventional wisdom, a way of just having demarcating some point universally that we can all change the calendar. But there's no intrinsic significance of the time 12 midnight. There's nothing significant about it. It's a midpoint. Okay. And if we, why do we change the clocks at 2 a.m.? I don't know. I don't know the answer to these things. I got more important things to worry about, right? But the point I'm bringing out is that the Torah tells us for us, when it comes nightfall, that's the beginning of a new day. That's the reason, which I'm sure you all know this already, that's the reason why all our holidays begin at night. When does Shabbat begin? Not Saturday morning. It begins sundown Friday. Because halachically speaking, from perspective of Jewish law, it is officially Shabbos at nightfall, what we call Friday night. That's when it, and when does Shabbos end? Not at midnight Saturday night, not at the morning star of Sunday morning. It ends nightfall Saturday night because it's now officially, in our book, Sunday. So for us, it makes perfect sense. So the very first prayer of the day is Maariv, the nighttime prayer. Then number two is Shachar at the morning. And then number three is Mincha in the afternoon slash evening. That's correct order. The Talmud wants to know, what do these prayers correspond to? Like, why? Why do we do one at night, one in the morning, and one in the afternoon? Why? So one of the answers that the Talmud gives in Tractate Brachot, Talmud says, because they correspond to the three patriarchs. Avraham, we'll go in, not in the correct order, but Avraham established Shacharit. He established the morning prayer. And the Talmud cites a verse based on one of the verses we have here. Yitzchak corresponds to the Mincha service, and Yaakov corresponds to the nighttime service. Okay? Not for tonight. File it away. Maybe we'll address it one time. If I'm telling you that the order is night, morning, afternoon, I would have expected it to be Avraham at night, Yitzchak morning, and Yaakov afternoon, keeping that same order. But just file that away in the figure out at a later point file. Okay? But that's what it corresponds to. So now, when I come to every prayer service, whether it be evening, I'm sorry, whether it be night, morning, or afternoon, of course, I'm going to invoke Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov because they're the ones who established it. They're the foundation of the prayer services that we have. Yes? Straightforward. But now we have to tie it in. Based on what we've said, that the first part of the blessing of I will make you into a great nation respond, corresponds to Avraham, and I will bless you corresponds to Yitzchak, and I will make your name great corresponds to Yaakov. What's this got to do with anything? What's the deeper meaning behind this? So watch this. This is fascinating. If you had to pick a name for our patriarch, our third patriarch, what name would you have chosen of what we know? Let me rephrase the question. I'll make it easier. How many names does he have? How many? I can't hear you.
Was the question again?
The question was, how many names does our patriarch Jacob have?
Oh,
Two. He has two names. He's known as Yaakov, Jacob, but he also has a name change later on. His name is Yisrael. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. You're going ahead and you're now part of the Men of Great Assembly, and you are now figuring out and structuring how you're going to reference the three patriarchs. So, Avraham, okay, that's an easy one. Yitzchak doesn't have any other names. And what would be the name you would choose to remember the third patriarch?
Israel.
Wouldn't you? Isn't Yisrael the name that he was given after he had exhibited tremendous growth? He was born as Yaakov, but he earned the title Yisrael. Remember that story? Here it is. He's born as Yaakov. Why the name Yaakov? From the word Akev. Akev means the heel. Torah tells us that he held on to the heel of his brother's twin, Esav. But the heel is the lowest part of your body. That's the lowliness. Yisrael, that comes from the word, for he struggled mightily against the angel. He fought against his brother. He had all these different aspects of struggle and succeeding. If I were choosing, I would, of course, chosen the name Yisrael, not Yaakov. In fact, this is not just a concept that I'm introducing. We know that both names are sanctioned, meaning to say, let's contrast that with Avram. Originally, his name was Avram. Remember, when he's first introduced to us, he's Avram, Avram. However, God changes his name and calls him Avraham. To the extent that from the moment the Torah tells us about his name change, you will never find him called Avram again. The original name is now defunct. It is not available. He is only to be called Avraham. The Talmud actually says that someone who has the audacity and referred to him as Avram has committed a transgression. Because God said that is no longer your name. Done. As opposed to Yaakov, where it's true, God says to him, no longer will your name be Jacob, but it will also be Yisrael. Not to say that Yaakov no longer exists. Sometimes God calls him Yaakov, sometimes God calls him Yisrael. Both names are sanctioned. So, what's the difference? Why is it by Avram the former name is gotten rid of, cannot be referenced anymore? But when it comes to Yaakov, he retains both names. There must be some difference, or there must be some understanding of what one represents and what the other represents. They must represent two aspects, not mutually exclusive of each other, but represent two different things. So listen to this. As a general rule, as the names imply, Yaakov represents the Jewish people when we're on a lowly level, when we're not living up to the potential that we're supposed to be, right? We talk about the idea that the Jewish people are supposed to be the role model for the world. People should be able to look around and say, that's what we should be like. That's what it should be. When we're not living up to that, then God, either himself or through the prophets, when you read the Nevi'im, you read through the prophets, when God is upset with us and the prophet tells us what's on God's mind, that he's not happy with us, very often he'll refer to us as Yaakov because we're not living up to that level. The low level is referred to by as Yaakov, the incomplete. Yisrael, that's a more lofty title. That when we are living up to our potential, when we're living up to what we're supposed to be doing, that higher level, we are called and referenced as Yisrael. I'll give you two simple examples. Number one, what's the name of Israel in Hebrew?
Israel.
It's called Eretz
Eretz Israel. Land of.
Yisrael, not Eretz Yaakov. What are we called? B'nai
Israel.
Yisrael. We're not called B'nai Yaakov. We're called B'nai Yisrael because that's our loftiest title. That's our lofty level to be at. So now my question comes back. So if Yisrael is the high level, then why would we say in our davening, Elokei Yaakov? Why would I make reference to the fact that God, you know, is the God of the even the lowly guy? Ah, maybe that's the answer. Perhaps I might have thought that maybe only God will only answer, prayer is only answered if and when I'm on the level of Yisrael. Had it said Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and Elokei Yisrael, I think most of us would feel like our goose is cooked. God's not necessarily going to listen to my prayer. I'm not living on that level of being Yisrael. I'm more of a Yaakov guy. I'm not living up to that potential. I might have thought that maybe God will not give me the mercy I need and answer my prayers. Right? If I'm living on the Yaakov, maybe I don't get that. Therefore, our sages imposed that when we reference here, and you'll see why mercy is a pivotal piece here, that when we come before God and we daven and we say, remember our ancestors, I'm the great, 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 great grandchild of Avraham, Yitzchak, yes, and even a Yaakov. Even on a lowly level, please answer my prayer as well, because I'm more in the Yaakov camp than I am in the Israel camp. You follow that? Yes? Susan, then there's more that I want to add to this.
That makes me think of why it is that the beginning we don't it is not written in the Amidah Elohe Avraham Yitzchak
Correct.
V'Yaakov, because each of them have a different relationship with Hashem.
That's correct. That's correct. And the piece I'm adding is that even if that relationship is in the modality of a Yaakov and not up to the level of a Yisrael, that is correct. Okay? But watch how beautiful this is. The phrase, Elohe Avraham, Elohe Yitzchak, Velohe Yaakov. Does anyone have that open in front of them, a siddur? Does anyone have that? You have it? Michelle, do me a favor, very carefully, count the number of letters from that phrase. Elohei Avraham. So Elohei has four. Avraham has five. Keep going.
What am I looking for?
You're counting that phrase. You see the phrase Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov? In the Siddur, you have a Siddur or a Chumash open? What do you have?
Chumash.
Oh, I was looking for if you have a Siddur. I have it in front of me. If you count it up, trust me, it's 26 letters. Elohei is four. Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud. Marty, you're the math guy, okay? Four. Avraham has five. That's a total of nine. Elohei, another four is 13. Yitzchak is four, is now 17. Velohei is five, that's 22. And Yaakov is four, is 26. Did I get it right? Okay. 26 letters in the phrase God of Abraham, God of Yitzchak, and God of Jacob. Come on, Susan, 26. What's that magical number? What does it correspond to? Come on, folks.
The
Olivet.
Olivet.
God's name. God's name.
That, what is it, Monroe?
God's name.
Good. The name of Hashem, Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, is 26. The name of Hashem, which is the name that we associate with God's attribute of mercy. We talk about this idea of where the name, a Yud and a Hey and a Vav and a Hey, that name that we don't even pronounce the way it is, that we ascribe, that's the trait of mercy. As opposed to the name Elohim or Eloheinu or Elohe, those that's associated with the attribute of strict justice. So 26, which is a Yud is 10, Hey is 5, that's 15, Vav is 6, is 21, and another Hey is 26. That's 5, right? 5 makes 26. So the number 26 is always associated with the name of Hashem corresponding to the trait of mercy. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. I just got through telling you that perhaps the reason why the great men of the men of great assembly, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, decided to put into our Shmoneh Esrei the name of Yaakov and not the name of Yisrael is because I might have thought that I won't be deserving of God's mercy to answer my prayer. So therefore, they specifically chose the name Yaakov. To say that even if somebody is not living up to their potential, they're not living the way they should, they're still going to potentially get the answer, get an answer from God. God will listen. And how do I know that he's going to bestow mercy even on somebody like that? Is because the phrase of this ancestor, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, is 26 letters, which is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the name, the attribute of mercy. You with me? It's fascinating. Oh, but there's so much more to this. What happens if we switched it out? What if we use the name Yisrael instead of Yaakov? How many extra letters am I putting in now? How many differences?
One.
Yaakov is 4, Yisrael is 5. So we're off by,
One.
I'm off by
One.
1. Yes? Marty, I got the math right?
See. Aim.
Okay, so I'm off by 1, but I want to tap into mercy. What can I do? What other is there another letter perhaps I can take out in the
Yeah.
phrase?
Love.
Abraham to Abraham.
Ah, maybe we should go back to Avram, get rid of the hey that was added to his name, then I can get it back down to 26. Oh, no, you can't do that. I just told you you can't do that. What's the phrase in our parsha? Remember, God gives 4 blessings to Avraham. The first one is, I'll make you into a great nation. That corresponds to us saying, God of Avraham. I will bless you. That corresponds to God of Yitzchak. And I will make your name great. Corresponds to Yaakov. What do you mean? Make your name great should be talking about whom? Avraham. Isn't that who we're
Yes.
talking about? No, because I'm going to specifically say the God of Yaakov so that you, Avraham, can have your full name with the hey. Because if I switched it out for Yisrael, you'd have to go back to Avram. So your name is made great by us referring to the third patriarch as Yaakov and not as Yisrael. Because otherwise I'm off by 1. I see perplexed looks here. Let me take a step back. If I chose to say Elokei Avraham and Elokei Yitzchak and Elokei Yisrael, I would have 27 letters in that phrase. I don't want 27. I want 26 because 26 corresponds to God's name that corresponds to the trait of mercy, which is what I'm coming to God with a prayer. Please have mercy and bestow upon me all that I'm going to ask of you. So I want to tap into this number 26. I have 2 ways to get there in this phrase of mentioning our ancestors. There's only 2 possibilities in their names. Either I use the name Yisrael and I have to make Avraham back to Avram, or leave it as Avraham and switch it to Yaakov. You follow that? Those are my only two options to keep it at 26 letters. Therefore, our sages said, let's call him Yaakov because I want to keep it ascribed to the trait of mercy, even if we're living at that lower level of Yaakov and not Yisrael. But it also gives me the opportunity to call our first patriarch by his proper name of Avraham, because I have that letter to keep in there. So the phrase, I'll make your name great, is really talking about Avraham. Your name is going to be expanded greater. It used to be Avram, now it's Avraham. Hence, we're able to still use all 26. So it says Elokei Yaakov, meaning to say that I can achieve and tap into God's mercy, even if I'm the lower level of Yaakov and not on Yisrael. We clear on this point? I'm going to show you a Zohar, a strange Zohar. Again, I'm not an expert in it, but I read sources that I have complete faith they know what they're talking about. I have no problem telling you E equal MC squared, not because I know it, but because the great Einstein said it, and I trust him. Okay? What does the Zohar tell us? A fascinating thing. Let's move to another story. Totally different story. We come to Moshe, come to Moses. The beginning of his leadership, God says, I'm going to send you back down to Egypt. He had run away already. And now God says the time has come for the Jewish people to be redeemed and to be saved. I'm going to send you down. So Moshe has this whole back and forth with God. He doesn't want to do it. I'm not the right guy. Yada, yada, yada. But at one point, he turns and he says to God the following. Let me get the right verse here. Here we go. Moshe says to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your forefathers, right? That's our topic tonight. The God of your forefathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Moshe argues with God and says, fine, I'll do it. But I'm going to come down there and I'm going to tell them the phrase that pays. I'm going to tell them that the God of our ancestors came to me, sent me to go ahead and tell you the good news, we're being redeemed. And they're going to say to me, what's his name? What should we call you? Not Moshe. What do we call God? God answers Moshe, I shall be as I shall be, whatever that means, another time. He continues. God said further to Moses, so shall you say to the children of Israel, Hashem, the God of your forefathers, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of
Yaakov.
Yaakov, okay, doesn't refer to him as Yisrael, God of Yaakov has dispatched me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my remembrance from generation to generation. And then he gives him the instructions. I want you to listen carefully. When Moshe asks the question, you want me to go down and tell them that the God of their forefathers has sent me? Does he list them by name? I'll read it to you again in case you didn't know to pay attention to this. Moses says to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your forefathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Does he list the forefathers? No, he just
No.
lumps them in and says, the God of your forefathers. In God's response, God said further to Moses, so shall you say to the children of Israel, Hashem, the God of your forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, and the God of Yaakov has dispatched me to you. And why, when Moshe talks, he doesn't mention them by name? When God responds, he does mention them by name. It's a great question, right? It's not my question. The Zohar picks up on something here, and I can't profess to really fully understand it, but he makes the comment. The Zohar says that on the words, the Amruli, and they, Moshe says, and when they say to me, Mashmo, what's his name? Ma'omar Lachem. What am I going to tell them? The last letters of those four words, Li, Ma, Shemo, Ma'omar, right? Those four spell Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. The last four letters. Okay? Again, Li ends with a Yud, Ma ends with a Hey, Shmo ends with a Vav, Ma ends with another Hey. Spells Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. What is the Zohar telling me that in the midst of this conversation, God is saying, oh, don't forget my name of mercy? Listen to an unbelievable explanation. You know what Moshe was asking? It's hard to believe Moshe didn't know. Like, what name should I have? No, call him Frank. Call him whatever name you want. I don't know. It's not like you don't know God now. God's been talking to you for quite a while. What do you mean? What's his question? If they ask me, what's his name? What should I? Perhaps what the Zohar is suggesting, again, not my thought, but from what I read, perhaps the Jewish people, when I come to them and I'm going to send them this message that the God of our ancestors is here and has sent me to take you out from Egypt, they're going to say, in what merit do we have? What? We don't deserve it.
And the best
We're
part.
on one of the lowest levels of impurity. Right? We've mentioned this in the past. The Jewish people at the time of the redemption, at the time of the Exodus, were not these most righteous individuals. They were on the 49th out of 50th level of impurity. We were holding on by our fingernails. How many years were we supposed to be there? How many years were we supposed to be in Egypt? What was destined?
400.
400 years. And in fact, we were only there.
270.
Very close, 210. The one and the seven are very close. You just added a little schmitchik, right? 210 years. Why? God said 400. There's a bunch of answers. But one of the answers is that we had to come out. Had we stayed much longer, we would have become so absorbed, so assimilated into Egyptian culture, there might not have been any hope for us to get out. So we were not these most amazing righteous people. At the very end, God gave us a couple of mitzvos to show our faith in him. He says, okay, that's a merit. He gave us the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, of the Paschal offering, going ahead and taking the Egyptian deity and sacrificing it. That takes tremendous faith. Doing Bris Milah, that's not so simple. Okay, but up all those years, they were not righteous necessarily. And therefore, Moshe says, I'm going to come to them and I'm going to say that God has come to me and sent me to you. Sorry, that I'm going to take you out. And you know what they're going to say? What right do we have? Why should God have mercy on us? We're going to ask, Mashmo, which name is it going to be? Says the Zohar. Look, in that question is Yud Kei Vav Kei, is the name of God that represents mercy. They're asking, what merit do we have? What does God respond? I'm going to repeat it again. God said further, so shall you say to the children of Israel, Hashem, the God of your forefathers. So far, it's exactly the same as when he told this to Moshe. But then he adds, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov,
Jonathan.
not the name Yisrael. Even if you're on the lower level of Yaakov, which you are worried about, that you don't deserve to be brought out in the Exodus. Why? Because we're not so good. We're not living up to the name Yisrael. We're living only on the level of a Yaakov. Hashem says, no worries. Even at the level of Yaakov, I'm here. I will answer you. You cry out, I'm done. You're coming out of Egypt. You hear that? In the exchange between Moshe and God, Moshe says, but they're worried. Based on what merit? Hashem responds, the merit of our ancestors, even as a Yaakov. Same concept, seen even in another place. Same idea. Okay. Time is it? Okay, we're good. We're good on time. Let's take it one more step. It's the last step, but I think you'll add one more piece to this. So what have we established? We've established that the going back to our parsha, right, where God gives Avraham, we'll call it a four-part blessing, each one. The first three now correspond to what we say in the Amidah, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and Elokei Yaakov specifically. But remember, there was a fourth one, wasn't there? God said, Veheye Bracha, and you will be for a blessing. What does that correspond to? That corresponds to the end of the bracha, the end of the blessing in Shmona Esrei, of where we only say Magen Avraham. You, we leave off Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's only you, the shield of Avraham. Why? Why end only with Avraham? Right? We had that question. I'm going to tell you something that's going to change your view forever. It's going to change your perspective about yourself and about every single person you know. The Baal Shem Tov tells us that there is within the soul of every Jew, there's an inner point. There is an untainted, pure part that remains pure no matter how much a person will sin. Okay? Listen, let's explain this. The Baal Shem Tov tells us when a person does a sin, okay? Again, I know maybe we know somebody who made a sin, but just use your imagination. Nobody here has any personal experience. Maybe we saw somebody do it once upon a time. Okay? What happens? What happens in reality when a person does a sin, goes against what the Torah says? What happens in practical terms? Does a lightning bolt come down and strike the person? No, it does not. So you say, okay, nothing happened. Maybe in the next world I'm going to have to pay up my dues. Is there something more? The answer is yes. What you do, when, not you, when a person does a sin, it's like getting a stain on your soul. It's like getting a stain on your shirt. What do you got to do? You got to get the stain out, right? But you get a stain. Sometimes you get a little stain. It's not a biggie, a little bit of, I don't know, whatever it is, right? A piece of grilled cheese, a little cheese falls on it. Okay, you're able to clean it off. A little water, a little seltzer, no problem. It's coming right out. Sometimes you're eating meatballs and tomato sauce. And that gets just a little splatter, just a tiny little splatter. And of course, on a white shirt, it's impossible, right? You got to pull out the OxyClean. That's not coming out with any seltzer. That takes a little more, right? And the worse the stain, the harder it is to get out. That, unfortunately, is a reality in the spiritual realm as well. When a person does a sin, it creates a stain on the soul. If it's, I use the word in quotes, a minor transgression, so then to be able to take out that stain, there's something called spiritual seltzer. You know what that's called? Tshuva. That's called repentance. And again, we can go through a Yom Kippur and it helps get rid of some of those stains. But there are certain stains, like a real grease stain, that takes a little more effort, right? It wasn't that long ago, and I'm sure some of us still do, when you get a stain and you got to really scrub it out, right? I used to have one of those brushes, really hard bristles. Right? And you put a little OxyClean or whatever the next level up is, right? And you put it on there and you scrub. Why? Because it takes a lot of elbow grease to get that stuff out. That's the level of tshuva and repentance that's needed for those kinds of sins. Obviously, it's gradations on it. Yes? But it is a reality. We get a stain on our soul. And if a person continues to sin more and more and more and more, you say, oh my gosh. That stain is going to be caked in. I'm never going to get that stain out. There's no hope. Right? Have you ever thrown away a piece of clothing because you couldn't get the stain out? I have. Right? It's one of the real disadvantages of wearing white shirts. Really hard to hide any stain. Right? That's why we wear ties. Right? And I'm a big fan of the wide tie. because it covers more covers more surface area. Okay, so but the truth is that we go ahead and somebody might say, "Oh, I've sinned so much. There's no hope. It's so my whole soul is encased in schmutz. It's totally crusted over. No OxyClean's gonna get that out. Come on, Rabbi." It's not true. The Baal Shem Tov tells us that deep, 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 deep within your soul, there is an inner sanctum. There is a point that never gets sullied, no matter how much we've sinned. That remains. That spark of holiness that is our soul. Yeah, unfortunately, we do, not us, others have encrusted their souls with sins terribly, and it's hard to get it out. And it takes a lot of work. But never, ever, ever think that it got to the point that the inner peace, that inner point of the soul, got corrupted. It does not. It remains pure. It, even if a person sins greatly. Where do we have this from? Like, I understand the sources, but who is the one that gave us this idea? That gave us and perhaps even implanted within us that sense of that pure soul, its inheritance from Avraham himself. Avraham Avinu, our patriarch Abraham. And I want to show you where this comes from. Comes from this week's portion as well. I'm going to read it to you. It's fascinating. Right after Avraham wins the battle, four kings versus five kings, the four kings beat the five kings, but they take Avram's nephew Lot captive. Avram goes ahead and he wages this battle against the mighty four kings. He defeats them. The king of Sodom offers him. Avram shuns all the honor. No thank you, no thank you. Right after that, Achar hadvarim ha'ele, after these events, the word of Hashem came to Avram in a vision. And he said to him, Al tira Avram, do not be afraid, Avram. Fear not, Avram. Anochi magen lach. I will protect you. I am a shield for you. Schorcha harbe ma'od. Your reward is very great. Why is God coming to Avraham and saying, "You have nothing to fear, Avraham. Don't worry, Tzatzkala. I'll be your shield." Why does God think Avraham is worried? Do we have any reason to believe that something went wrong, that Avram now is afraid that God's not going to provide him protection and be a shield for him? So the Talmud tells us that Avram was concerned that maybe, that just maybe, any sins that he had committed would affect and negatively impact even on his inner core. And Hashem responds, Anochi I magain. You hear that word? Sound vaguely familiar? Shield. Like we say in the davening, Magen Avraham, shield of Avraham. This is the source of it. Hashem tells Avraham, don't worry. Even if you or your descendants later on sin, I'm not happy, but don't worry. I am a shield. You know what a shield does? A shield, it blocks. It prevents whatever's harmful from coming in. That's what a shield does. Hashem says, I put up a spiritual force field in your inner soul. I will be that protection for you. I will protect that inner core. That is why we end with Magen Avraham. We don't have to mention Yitzchak and Yaakov because the whole concept that even if we're living on a low level, like a Yaakov, we're living on the level not of a Yisrael, we still are worthy of God answering us, of God giving us mercy. Why? Because we have that as an inheritance from Avram himself. That the inner core of every Jew remains pure, remains holy, and always remains and is deserving of mercy, even if it's on a level of a Yaakov. Give you one more example like this. The prophet Hosea. Saw this article, it was so beautiful. The prophet Hosea, the Talmud tells us that there was a certain circumstance, a situation of where, even though the Jewish people asked improperly something from God, God answered them properly. The prophet Hosea tells us that the Jewish people asked the God, "May Hashem come down to us like rain." And God responds, "I will be like the dew for the Jewish people." Okay, cool. But what's the symbolism here? What is it that the Jewish people were asking, and why did God respond differently? What is it that they were asking? They were asking, "We're ready to grow. We're ready to move forward. We're ready to come closer to you, God. We want it. We want to be better. Help us. Come down to us like rain." Rain is very often associated with blessing. Come, give us all the blessing. Shower us like rain. And God says, "It's not in your best interest that I come to you as rain. I'm going to come to you like the dew." What's the difference? What is it from a meteorological standpoint, the difference between rain and dew? Rain, when it comes down to water, let's say you plant your field and the rain comes down, it inundates the field. It absolutely comes in and just saturates the earth. It's like an overabundance. It's necessary, but it's completely saturates the earth. The dew, on the other hand, is a much gentler, it's a much softer approach. When the dew goes ahead, it's just a light layer of moisture that acts as an encouragement for the seeds to grow. You hear the difference? Rain is completely a saturation from above. Completely, God sends the rain, completely immerses the seed and helps it grow. But who's doing all the work? The rain is. The rain brings that flood of growth. The dew, on the other hand, the dew is like a little tickle. It's like a little nudge. "I got a little moisture for you. Come on, come on. You can grow. You got this. I know what's within you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm not going to saturate you and completely be type A person and override and have you grow the way I want you to grow. That's all my job. That's all I'm doing. It's not what I want," God says. "I want to be like the dew. I'm going to give you that little encouragement because inside you, I know you have what it takes. I'm just going to be the one to encourage you. I'm the one that's going to, help you in the process from your own inner development." That's the major difference. So, yeah, the Jewish people were asking for goodness, they were asking it to be like rain. So in that sense, yeah, it's coming from a good place, but God says, "I have something even better for you. I'm going to help you grow like the dew, gently showing you that the deep reservoir of personal inner strength, your abilities are all there. I'm going to be the impetus to help you grow on your own." That's what it is being said here. When Hashem tells us that Hashem, I'm sorry, when Hashem tells Avraham, "I will be your shield," that means I will make sure that that inner core of purity remains no matter what. And the ability for that to grow, the ability for that to be encouraged, to develop on its own with some help, that is well within your reach. Even if you're living on a lower level like a Yaakov name, all of this comes together. This is, I think, what's being said when we daven every day and we read these words: "Blessed are you, Hashem, our God and God of our ancestors, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov." It's all with the message of, despite my mistakes, despite the sins I may have committed, and I'm living on a level that I'm not really, I could be much better. I'm living on a level of a Yaakov instead of a Yisrael. Hashem still says, "Don't worry. Yud Kei Vav Kei, there's 26 letters. I want you to, no problem. I'm still going to give you the mercy. I'm still going to listen to what you have to say and help you." And you want to know where this all comes from? Baruch atah Hashem Magen Avraham. The shield that was promised to Avraham, the shield that says, "I will protect that inner core, I always, no matter what. Never too far, never too far gone, never too late." Because that core remains. The potential of greatness is still within us, and we have the right to come before God and ask Him for mercy. Even if we don't feel worthy, He reminds us, living on Elokei Yaakov, on that level of Yaakov, I got mercy to give you because I know your inner core is so good. This is what's being promised. Now I go back to our story and we'll wrap it up. God comes to Avram and he says, I want you to go on a journey where I'm not telling you. Why? Because you're going to have to learn to do this on your own. I'm not going to give it to you like rain. I'm going to give you all that you need. It's within you. I'm going to help you each step along the way, but it's going to be your journey. And you have the ability. And I'm going to tell you that. Why? Because, as the verse says, I'm going to show you, I will make you a great nation. How? We're going to learn to do this, Avraham. I'm going to show you. I'm going to encourage you. It's going to be coming from within you. Elokei Yitzchak, I will bless you. And I'm even going to make your name great. How? By showing you that even as a Yaakov, even those who are of your descendants who are living on the lower level, not a problem. You say, but how can that be? And you shall be a blessing. That's by saying, Magen Avraham, the shield of Avraham. Everything about this story, it's the origin of who we are as a people. It starts with a simple message. We are all on a journey. And you say, but I've messed up so many times. I've gone off the road. I've gone way off. I can't find my way back. No. 3 times a day, we are reminded we are the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. God wants to hear from us. God will still give us the mercy. He wants to reach out to him. And he says, but how could I? Don't worry. The shield of Avraham is still effective. We still are able. How many years later now? Avraham was born in 1948 and we're in 57, 86. So do the math, right? 4,000 years ago. I mean, Avraham is a long time ago. Hashem says, don't worry. Magen Avraham, the shield of Avraham, still strong. That core is untouched, untainted, pure. You have the right, and I encourage you, talk to me, ask me. I want to give you what you ask for. That's what's going on here. To me, this opened up the whole story now. This whole idea of Avram going on a journey, that's us. We go through our journey in life. We make mistakes. Oh, too far gone. It's already caked on. Wrong. Not. It's all the hints about the beauty of it all come from this. Questions, thoughts, comments, concerns. Come on. Let's see if we can put a bow on this, or at least explain what I've confused everybody with. Start with Susan.
I think I have a bow,
Okay.
which is the very first words, Lech Lecha, go to yourself.
That's
In
exactly what it means.
those two words, it sums up.
Go and find out who you are.
Yes,
You have it within you to become the great
yes.
patriarch of our people. Lech
Yes.
go lecha into
To your
yourself. You have what it takes.
Yourself, within yourself, because
Right.
you have the shield and you have the potential,
That's
and
correct.
it's untouched.
Correct. And that is us. This is
Yes.
not just a story of Avraham. We don't read
Every day,
historical
every
stories. We don't read historical stories just because they're stories. They are relevant and contemporary for us. We
today,
are
today, every day,
today.
yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great point, Sharon.
No, I was just going to ask, like, where do all the 10 tests of Avraham, where did they all fall in? I
Where
know
does this one fall in?
the Lech Lecha was one of his
Towards the
tests,
beginning.
but
Correct. It's towards the beginning. It's a disagreement among the sages what number it is, but it's in the beginning. It's the first couple at most. The
right,
other
because he
tests,
had
all like number 10, according to most say, is the Akedah, is the binding of
right,
Isaac, which is the end of this week's upcoming parasha.
right. Number 8 is the bris and so on, but
Right. So it's somewhere. It's either one or maybe two.
I think, well, one was when they put him in the fire.
Okay. You're treading in how do I call it? Controversy land. There's this
Okay.
there's a there's a disagreement amongst the sages what numbers to attribute to which tests. But
But
it's
he,
not
but.
this step of Lech Lecha, according to all opinions, is on the early side of things. Whether it's one or two, that's
Right, but
it's not seven and eight.
he still had 10 tests, correct?
There are a total of 10, yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Robin.
Yeah, this is actually just a comment. If you remember when we finished our last class, when we were doing the ethics of the father, for some reason, somewhere we were talking about something, and I asked you, I don't know if you remember this, I asked you, what does it mean when we said the guardian that he guards and shields Abraham, and you said you wanted me to look it up and get back to you, which I guess I never did, but now you have answered that, so thank you.
There you go. It's amazing. I don't plan these things weeks and weeks in advance. I really don't. It's just, as I'm reading and as I'm learning and as I'm like, you know what? Something of this nature I gotta share with you. Now, whatever. Any other thoughts, questions? Ask, this is a good time. Ask if you don't, if I wasn't clear about something.
It was just so much food for thought, and
Good
this
thing you didn't have dinner yet. I say.
I felt this was just as an aside, a very encouraging and refreshing message for all of us.
Yeah.
If we have this pure essence that can't be touched, no matter
Yeah.
our, irregardless of our sins, I think, I don't know about everyone else, but it makes you feel pretty good.
Yep. That's how I felt. Listen, I don't want you to have the wrong impression here. I got plenty of things that I'm doing wrong. I got plenty of things that I gotta fix and I gotta be better, right? I also feel sometimes like, well, but you hear something like this and you say, yeah, I can do this. I'm not gonna become perfect, but I can be better tomorrow than I was today. Okay, I'm gonna grow. And Hashem says, I'm all ears. My arms are wide open, Hashem says. Talk to me. I'm here.
And I love the analogy between the rain and the dew that
Yeah.
you,
Yep.
is
It's amazing.
poetic.
It's very,
Yeah.
it's amazing.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Yes, Jeff.
I don't want to descend from the lofty kind of conversation that we're having, but whenever I read this parsha, I always think in my mind of a Sid Caesar type sketch where Abraham is telling his wife that he's going to pack up everything and leave.
Yep. Yeah.
And what she and his children and everybody else was saying.
Yeah. Well, there are no children yet. That's
Well,
right.
his
No,
group
but
is.
Jeff, it's a great point. She doesn't get enough credit. We don't spend enough time on it. But Sarah is an unbelievable person. Truly, truly. Not just because she goes along with her husband. She is such a pivotal player and such a role model in so many ways to study the character. If you ever want to explore in a deeper way, study the second to last chapter of Proverbs. You know it. It's the prayer of Eshet Chayil, a woman of valor that we sing in, Friday night service at the table. According to the Midrash, that was Avraham's eulogy for Sarah. All those beautiful traits and how he praises so many aspects of her and who she was and what she did and what she did for other. That's Sarah. So yeah, it's an amazing thing, Jeff. I also just imagine Avram comes home and says, "Sarah, have I got news for you?" Right? I could just see the comment, and don't forget, he takes his nephew Lot with him too, which is another whole conversation. Why? What has Lot got to do with any of this? Oh, Lot plays a pivotal role also. But anyway, I can't give it all to you in one night. Susan.
It may be needed for another time, but I'm interested in Sarah's name being changed from Sarai to Sarah. Is this a time to ask about
I
that?
can give you the simple. I mean, the words themselves. Sarai means my princess. Sarah means princess in general global terms. You are no longer going to be limited. Esarai, my, but rather you are going to become the matriarch, Sarah, in the much, much more global sense. Similar to Avram. Avram was Av Goyim, and then he became Avraham, Av Hamon Goyim, the father of a multitude of nations. It's a broadening and an expansion of what role they're going to play in history.
It was changed at the same name as Avram to Avraham.
Same
Sorry.
time?
At the same time,
Yes.
yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, one more, Robin, you're up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so the thought when you said it's going to change how we see ourselves and others, so that's a good point, because it's not the journey just for ourselves, that we are still pure and that, you know, we always can come back and, you know, you can, no matter how far you're not gone, you can change. I think that's something to remember about other people, because you have perceptions of other people. You might see them negatively. You might see that they've sinned. Jewish people I'm talking about, obviously, and or anybody, but in any case, but that, you know, you're going to write them off, but that you shouldn't, that there's always a spark that they can always change.
Excellent.
It can always come back.
Great point. Excellent, excellent, excellent point. Love it. It's true. It's a very true point. Good. So as Anne said, my goal is to give you food for thought. My goal is to get the wheels turning in ways that perhaps we haven't thought, or analyzing the text, you know, in a much deeper way. Now, some of you might be scratching your head and say, maybe this is a little too deep and we need to lighten it. I'm working on it. I'm trying to find a balance of where I'm challenging you, but at the same time, you know, got to make sure that we're all walking away with good understanding and a little inspiration and encouragement to keep going. So I'll continue to try to strike that balance. All right. Next week we are on. Okay. Next week, God willing, we are on, and then we're off. We're off for the, I think with my travel dates, I think I'm off for 3. Because I leave on a Wednesday night and then I come back on a Tuesday. I think that's what it is. So, but we are on, God willing, next Wednesday night, right? Parshas Vayera. So
wonderful.
When you go to shul this week, pay attention. You
yeah.
never know where I'm going to choose the topic. All right. Have a great one, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
My
this is
pleasure.
Wonderful.
Yeah.